Now, if you were here on Wednesday, then you would have gotten one of these cards. And if you weren't here on Wednesday, and even if you are here today, hopefully you've got one in your Bible, that through Lent, we want to think about these different practices that are here on this card, because the way that we live out our lives demonstrates who is Lord of our lives. And we want to proclaim that Jesus is Lord over our lives. So each Sunday through Lent, we're going to take one of these different letters, and we begin with bless. Bless is the first of the beats. We're talking about this phrase that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11 from the Message translation of the Bible, where he says, learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. And it's an interesting day to think about the rhythms of grace that might be unforced, that sense of blessing and ease, because here we have a reading of Jesus just having been baptized, just having had the Holy Spirit come upon him and the voice from heaven speaking over him. Surely if there's a time that was blessed for Jesus, that would be one of the highlights. And yet immediately afterwards, he's sent into the desert, into a time of testing. You see, a life of blessing, even in Scripture and even for Jesus, goes alongside spiritual battles. Just because you might be battling temptation doesn't mean that you're not living in the blessing of the Lord, because that's what Jesus went through, and it's what we as his followers will go through too. You see, Jesus was offered shortcuts to fulfill his appetites and to fulfill his calling, and that's always how temptation works. Sin is always the shortcut to what God has promised, but we find that instead of it actually being a shortcut, it's a diversion. First, provision. Turn these stones into bread. Do a miracle to satisfy your own appetite. No, says Jesus. I'm called to fast for 40 days. And during that and after that, I'm going to depend on the word of God, not my own appetites, to define what I do. I'm going to look to God for my provision. Then glory. Do something amazing to attract everyone's attention. Prove to people and prove to yourself that God will protect and save you. No, says Jesus. I'm not here to test the Lord, but to serve him and do his will. And then power, provision, glory, power. Just bow your knee and I'll give you all the things. I'll give you all of this power. I'll give you authority. If you just worship me, says the devil. No, says Jesus. The Lord has an even greater plan than yours. And I'll worship and serve him alone. See, to live in resistance to temptation is to live in the blessing of God. It doesn't mean it's easy, but we find God's blessing here. Not by going, by not going along with the crowd, by not giving in to temptation, by living a consecrated life, we live in the blessing of God. So quickly today, three questions. What does it mean to be blessed? What does it mean to bless others? And then how can I be a blessing to others? So what does it mean to be blessed? Well, the first time this word is mentioned in Scripture is for Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 1. The Lord had created everything and then he created Adam and Eve and he blessed them. And the Hebrew word for blessing is actually kneel. Adam and Eve were caused to kneel before the Lord as he prayed a blessing over, spoke a blessing over them, that they would be fruitful, that they would be able to take charge and steward the creation well. You see, a blessing is a bestowing of a gift. And the gift is this, a vision of what life could be. a vision of life at peace, a vision of life where we're thriving, a vision of life where we're flourishing. The dictionary says that a blessing is to confer or invoke divine favor. Confer means put upon someone, or invoke means call down upon yourself. Divine favor. We're meant to live in the knowledge of the favor of God. And the English word bless is actually related to the word blood. It's to do with that consecration of us setting ourselves apart so that we are living under the blessing of God because we have been set apart to be made holy by Him. And it's also connected, I love this, to the word bliss. So many of us and so many people in the world today are looking for bliss. We book a holiday so that we can experience bliss. We try and look forward to the weekend because we don't want to have to be working so that we can experience the bliss of ease. And yet, the Bible teaches us that bliss is not found in a lack of activity or getting away to a nice sunny place where you sit on a sun lounger for a week. Bliss is knowing the Father loves us and living out His will even in the times of challenge. Because the next place, or the place where Jesus talks about blessing, the most famous sermon that He ever preached was the Beatitudes. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit. And we go, well, yeah, okay. I'm not sure that they are blessed, but I want them to be blessed. Blessed are those who are struggling. Blessed are those who are persecuted. Blessed are those who are chasing after and hungering after the righteousness of God. Some Bible translations use the word instead of blessed. Happy are those. Blessing is to do with a sense of happiness and joy. And Jesus sums up these sermons on the Mount by saying, you will be blessed because you will know that you have a reward in heaven. You see, blessing isn't dependent on our current circumstances. Blessing is dependent on the hope that we have in Jesus. In Matthew 16:17, Jesus told Simon Peter he was blessed because that was when he said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. You're blessed when you know the love and the salvation of God. And finally, in terms of what does it mean, what does the word blessing mean? This is the Greek word, eulogio or eulogy. How often do we wait until somebody's died before we say their eulogy? It's a way that we bless that person as they go from this life to the next. We remember the good things about them. We say the things that we remember, that we remember that they, how they were loving and good and kind and gracious. Or maybe we need to start doing that before people die, rather than just waiting until after when they can't hear it. So what does it mean then to bless others? Well, firstly, it's the opposite of a curse. A curse is a calling down of hardship or difficulty or somebody, or simply trying to wish somebody ill. And actually, the Bible teaches us, Paul says, that we should bless those who persecute us. Bless those who curse us. We're supposed to turn things around because we have the heavenly resources of God's love. We want to want the best for people, even those who make our lives difficult. Jesus talked about how the Father causes the rain to fall on the righteous and the unrighteous, the sun to rise on the evil and the good. See, we're not to withhold our blessing just to those people that we like. If we are to be like God, we need to be those who are wanting the best and speaking God's love and hope over anybody. Abraham himself, the father of faith, was blessed to be a blessing. Genesis 12, verse 2, I will bless you and you will be a blessing. And so it's for us, those of us who are now living in the blessing of Christ, to be a blessing to others. Speaking words of life to people, words of encouragement, words that build up, words that remind them of God's love. These are the ways that we can bless. So to give a blessing, the action is to intentionally turn ourselves towards someone and think about them from their point of view, to have empathy. And then to speak words of life over them. To receive a blessing. Remember, it was to do with kneeling. Quite hard to receive a blessing sometimes. It's a very humbling thing. And they don't not only hear those words, but begin to live into them. How can we bless others then? Well, I've got a whole number of stories I could tell you. Stories of a couple that, when we were still in Stockport, we saw them as we walked into a cafe. Lizzie and I were going for lunch, and we had a little chat with them. And then by the time they were there before us, obviously, because they were sat down, by the time Lizzie and I got up to pay our bill, we found out that it had already been paid because the couple there wanted to pay it for us. That was a blessing. That caused us to feel so encouraged and so blessed, and that they had thought so much about us. Another friend of mine whose mum died young, not unlike Natalie and the situation that he's currently facing, and Billy. But my friend Phil, each year on the anniversary of his mum's death, buys flowers for a woman who's had an impact in his life. And so last year he bought Lizzie some flowers to say thank you. We have a giving account, which every time we get any money that's extra to our normal income, if somebody gives us a gift or I earn a little bit of money or something for doing something else, then we put some of that aside into a giving account so that we can intentionally try and work out who can we give stuff to that they might not even know. Who can we put money in an envelope and anonymously post it through their door? It's really fun giving out money when people have no idea where it's come from. We can write a note to say how much someone means to us. We can make dinner for a family that we know is going through a challenging time. We can offer to pray for someone as we meet them and they tell us about a challenging time they're going through. We could decorate the office if somebody's birthday is going to be that day. Or we could put a balloon up outside their house just to let them know that we're thinking about them. But the most important thing is to speak words of life to people, words of hope. And words of grace. Which is why on this little card it says bless one person inside the church and one person outside the church. And the challenge that we're throwing down this Lent is, can we do that each week? Can we think of one person each week that's within our church community that we can bless, that we can encourage, that we can support? And is there one person who's outside our faith community that we can be God's blessing to? And finally, the Bible teaches us that we can bless God. We can bless God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me, praise his holy name. This means that we can cause God's happiness by living a blessed life, a consecrated life, a humble life. Choosing to live differently, to walk in his paths, just as Jesus did through his temptations. Would you pray with me? Lord, so often we forget the heavenly reward because we get so caught up in the stuff that's going on around us. We want to live in your blessing, and forgive us, Lord, that sometimes we think that living in your blessing means that we have no cares and no troubles. And yet we see Jesus, who is living in the fullness of your blessing, going through severe trials and temptations, and ultimately gave his life on the cross for us. Thank you that we can live in your blessing, even in the midst of the trials and the challenges. And we ask, Lord, that you would cause us to be a blessing to to one another, to those who don't yet know you. And Lord, that we might be even a blessing to you. In Jesus' name, amen.